Welcome to City Club of Portland's Friday Forum. I'm Lisa Watson, president of City Club. For more than a century, City Club of Portland is where civic-minded people work together to make Portland and Oregon a better place for everyone to live and explore. We're gathered today at the Sentinel Hotel and are joined by thousands of Oregonians via X-Ray FM's radio stations, KGW's website, Facebook feed and news app, and Open Signal's community media television stations. In addition to City Club's valued media partners, our corporate sponsors enable us to continue to put on the state's best civic programs week after week. I'd like to recognize City Club's winter sponsor, Portland General Electric, and thank them for their generous support. Please join me in showing our appreciation to the sponsors, staff, and volunteers who have made this event possible. Today, we will hear from the candidates seeking to represent Multnomah County District 2. John Horvick will moderate our debate and will introduce the candidates. Today, Mr. Horvick is Vice President and Political Director at DHM Research, an independent and nonpartisan public opinion firm. He regularly conducts surveys and focus groups across Oregon on the policy issues that will likely be in focus during the 2018 campaign season. John is a longtime City Club member and a past president. Please join me in welcoming John Horvick and our candidates.
Thank you very much, Lisa. Welcome to the candidates who are here today. And I'm going to begin by just saying thank you to being here at City Club and to recognize the courage it takes to run for office and appreciate the work that you're doing for our community. We're going to go ahead and just jump right in the interest of time. And our candidates to my left is Sharon Maxwell, Sushila Jayapal, Maria Garcia, and Bruce Broussard. To open our debate, each candidate will have 1 minute for a statement. Once the opening statements have concluded, we'll move on to questions. Each candidate will have 90 seconds to answer each question. When I've completed my prepared questions, I'll present questions from the audience. Each candidate will get 1 minute to answer audience questions. And also, as the moderator, I'm reserving the right to allow a candidate 45 seconds for rebuttal if I feel that they've been personally attacked. I suspect and trust that that won't be an issue, but I do want to acknowledge that I hold that right out. To our audience members, please refrain from clapping or cheering during the debate. It's important for our broadcast audience to hear from all the candidates without distractions or interruptions. Our panelists and the audience should know that if a candidate goes past their allowed time, their microphone will be turned off and the discussion will move on. With that, we'll begin with opening remarks. Ms. Maxwell.
Good afternoon, everyone. Sharon Maxwell, native to Portland, Oregon, in the heart and soul of District 2. It's time for true servant leadership. As a businesswoman of my own construction company for the last 16 years, in 1993, when we know that District 2 was devastated and blighted, I recognized that if the community was going to turn around, it was going to take us, the people that actually live there. And I went and started my own construction company. And since then, I've started a housing program, the House of Shalom, that helps to connect people who have been displaced, gentrified out, and making sure that families with children, disabled homeless persons, and post-incarcerated male who had been excluded from the community. I'm running because I'm invested, and it's time for a true champion for District 2 to make sure that all of our residents have a quality of life. Thank you.
Ms. Jayapal.
Thank you so much to City Club for organizing this forum and to all of you for coming here. Good afternoon. I'm Sushila Jayapal. I'm an immigrant. I came to the United States when I was 16 to go to college. That was almost 40 years ago, and I still remember my first day here. Standing by the side of the train tracks with my luggage strewn around me, I have never felt so short, so brown, or so sweaty. I have lived in Portland for the last 24 years, all in District 2. And I'm running for office because I feel a sense of urgency about what's happening here in Multnomah County. And what is happening is that in a time of economic prosperity, too many people are struggling to find housing, struggling to keep stable family wage jobs, struggling to pay medical bills. That's not the kind of community that I want to live in or that you want to live in. That's why I'm running for office, to make sure that Multnomah County is a place where all people can be supported, safe, and thrive. Thank you.
Buenas tardes, Maria Garcia. What we lack right now across the country is a connection between the government and the people. Because we are disconnected from our government, we are doubtful of holding accountable our representatives. We must, as community, hold our representatives accountable. We have to participate in those decisions. I'm running because I know what it is to be a woman of color. I know what it is to be undocumented. I know what it is to be the mother that I didn't want that I wanted to be, but I couldn't because I had three jobs. I know what it is, the feeling of uncertainty. I'm very familiar with these issues. So I know that we need leadership that is responsible. I know we need leadership that has integrity and is willing to fight for our communities. Thank you.
I'm Bruce Broussard, and I'm running in all due respect, folks. We got a major problem here. It's called homelessness. What do you do?
Mr. Broussard,
why don't
you start over?
You have a talk show when I'm forgetting things. Anyway, I'm Bruce Broussard, and I'm running because we've got a major issue here in the city of Portland. It's called homelessness. What do? And in all due respect, we got WAPATO. You still see it's still an issue. We need to take these folks off the street, vet them, find out who's on the street, and I'm sure that will solve some of the problems that I can do that. Thank you.
Okay, we'll begin with our questions. The first question will go to Ms. Jayapal, then we'll move to the left and we'll rotate around. Again, candidates have 90 seconds to answer this round of questions. In recent surveys, residents in Multnomah County have said that the two most important issues for their local leaders to address are affordable housing and homelessness. And so that's where we're going to begin. The first question, do you agree or disagree that we are in a housing crisis? If you agree, what do you believe that demands from Multnomah County and its residents? If you disagree, share with us how your perspective of housing differs from those who say we are experiencing a housing crisis.
Thank you for the question. We have 4,000 people identified as homeless or houseless on our streets, and thousands more who are effectively homeless because they're couch surfing or in their vans or in otherwise unstable housing situations. I do believe that that's a crisis. That's not acceptable in our community. It's a crisis we've got to tackle from all angles. We do need to build more housing that's affordable across a range of incomes. We need to provide emergency shelter for those who require it. And we need to keep people from becoming homeless in the first place. We've started some efforts on this to a local housing voucher program to keep people housed. It's going to be much more effective in the long run and cheaper in the long run if we can keep people housed and not have to provide services once they're on the street. We have the ability to do these things. We've just got to focus on them and make them happen and always make sure that we're providing people with a path out of the situation that they're in and a path into stability. Thank you.
Ms. Garcia.
Yes, I do believe that we are living in a crisis, but we also have this displacement problem. For the past 20 years, our communities have been displaced. So we have this issue of lack of housing, we have this issue, lack of shelters. We need long-term shelters for our people. We need to stop the sweeps. We need to address this issue. We need to give a physical address to our homeless. They have different needs. So in order for these people to get off the streets, we need to be able to deliver those services. Some of them are waiting for social security services. Some of them are waiting for doctor's appointment, but they don't have a place where to receive their emails. They move constantly. That's a serious issue. As a business owner, I get affected by this issue every day, and I totally relate that we have to help them. But not just giving temporarily shelter. We need to get them off the street and get them off those addictions and realize that these people have serious family issues and addiction problems. Thank you.
Mr. Broussard?
I agree. Low-income housing has always been an issue here in our city. And in fact, I addressed those issues years back when I created, my wife and I created Tri-County Neighborhood Housing. And our whole purpose was to basically get folks out of a renting situation into a home ownership. Well, during that particular time, the housing market, if you will, in the Northeast Portland corridor were really cheap. And it was good experience, if you will, but at the same time, folks were in fact getting in them as a home ownership aspect of it. But politics came into the situation, and therefore, as a private entrepreneur, something else came in, the government came in the whole situation, and therefore I was out. So therefore I switched over then, and my wife and I built a senior citizen complex, Walnut Park, 38 units at $1.8 million. And I built that in Northeast Portland, right behind the police department there. It's still standing, and folks are happy. But I'd like to get back in that home situation. They need someone at the table, both at the city and the county, to get my background, if you will, to make sure we are seriously talking about home ownership for low income. Thank you.
And Ms. Maxwell.
So first of all, as a general contractor, and in 1993, we have an emergency crisis housing for people with low income and working families. As a contractor, I've been out here, I've seen this. My company has been the one who has built the transient fences, installed chain link fences under our infrastructure where we have the camps and the tents. And every morning coming to those sites where we are doing the construction work, having to wake people up, the first question I would always ask them as my heart was breaking by seeing another human being having to dig a hole like a cave and live up under a bridge, said that they had given up. And for me, that was unacceptable. That's why I started my own House of Shalom transitional and emergency housing. And what they would tell me is that they've given up. They've given up. So my top three areas as commissioner will be to focus on mental health and housing. We have to bring all together the conveners and every stakeholder to come up with a good solution, and I already know what that is because I've already been doing it. And we need to address it by pulling together our public safety. Too many of the dollars in public safety are going into intervention, and we need to work on prevention. And then the third one is public health. We need to make sure that people are having a quality of life.
We're going to stick with housing, and this we'll start with Ms. Garcia with this next question. A disagreement exists about the best way for Multnomah County and local governments in the region to increase affordable housing. One perspective says that we should prioritize keeping construction costs low so that we can maximize the number of new units built. Another perspective says that we should insist that affordable housing be built with strong environmental and design standards, use union labor, even when those requirements increase the costs and decrease the numbers of units that can be built. How do you think Multnomah County should manage this trade-off? And what specifically would you advocate for as a member of the County Commission?
I will use my position as a commissioner to create or strengthen those relationships with the City Council, with Metro, with everybody. This is a crisis and everybody has to pitch in. And we have to take care of not just the housing, but the environment. We have to make sure our ecosystem is not affected more than what it is right now. So I will advocate for long-term housing, yes. I will advocate for partnership and bringing our community to the table. Our community members, those that are being affected by displacement and low-income brothers and sisters, have to be participating in these decisions. What I talk about since the beginning is that this connection between the government and the community. We cannot continue making decisions without the input of those people directly affected. What I'm bringing is opening the doors for our communities to put their input with the sources that are already existing. We need to do a self-assessment of where our money is going as a taxpayers and as Multnomah County in general. How are we investing? Who is getting these contracts? And what community members are participating in these decisions? Thank you.
Mr. Broussard?
Okay. And as far as the county is concerned, we don't issue permit. The city of Portland issues permits. We are in the sheltering business. We're in the jail. You're familiar with the jail. The jail is really a shelter. The police department picks them up and they vet them out. If they do a crime, depending upon the crime, they either send them to the penitentiary, or if not that, they'll use them short time and they let them release them. So consequently, that's why WAPATO is so important to the scenario. We're into this poor folks, the housing for the poor. Housing for the homeless is our business. That's why I'm saying we need to open up WAPATO, if you will, and take those people off the street and vet them, if you will. That's where I think we need to do. We need to concentrate on WAPATO. Thank you.
Yes, I will repeat the question. A disagreement exists about the best way for Multnomah County and local governments in the region to increase affordable housing. One perspective says we should prioritize keeping construction costs low so that we can maximize the number of new units built. Another perspective says that we should insist that affordable housing be built with strong environmental and design standards and use union labor, even when those requirements increase costs and decrease the number of units that can be built. How do you think Multnomah County should manage this trade-off, and what specifically would you advocate for as a member of the County Commission?
Thanks, John, for repeating that. So first of all, there was a vote taken last week at the County Board meeting, and I believe Commissioner Smith, and it is alleged that Shashila Jaipal, voted to sell the 10 properties that are being foreclosed on by the county. That's one area that I would have not voted yes on, because the county is the one who is managing that system of collecting property taxes. Those 10 homes should be kept in the portfolio and be utilized to help get people off the street. Now, this other issue, as far as the disagreement on how we should go about it, as a contractor, I recognize that there are costs associated, but right now we have to remember when the city of Vanport was built for emergency housing because we were at wartime, they built a whole city and provided housing for 40,000 people in less than 110 days. What is different about right now? So we need to bring the stakeholders together, the city, the county, and the contractors. There is a matrix here of how we invest our dollars, and if we really care about people as the county commissioners that we say we do, then we'll make the decisions that help people to get off the streets. Thank you.
Ms. Jaipal.
Thank you. I'll start with just a quick correction. Ms. Maxwell, I believe, said that I voted on the county commission. I'm really thrilled that it feels like I'm already on the commission. I look forward to being on the commission, but I am not yet and did not vote. In terms of how we approach housing and building it, you know, again, I think it's an all hands on deck and an approach rather than either or. We need to find the smartest ways to build as much housing as we can. The bond has a very high per unit cost attached to it for regulatory reasons. We need to also explore other less expensive ways to build housing, absolutely. I'll say also, however, that I'm a labor supporter. We need to support our working families, and we can't build affordable housing on the backs of labor. So there are other ways that we can lessen costs, and we absolutely need to do that. One piece that hasn't come up that I think is so important is renter protections. The city has enacted the relocation ordinance. That was a step in terms of protecting renters. We really need to continue to advocate for more local control over renter protections, including looking at just cause eviction standards. Just last week, an entire apartment complex was purchased, and the 82 low-income families living in that complex have been given months to leave. That's part of what's causing our homelessness issue, and we need to be able to protect those folks. Thank you.
For our broadcast audience, this is City Club of Portland's Friday Forum. I'm John Horvick, Vice President and Political Director at DHM Research. Today, we're hearing from candidates running for Multnomah County Commissioner in District 2, Bruce Broussard, Maria Garcia, Shashila Jaipal, and Sharon Maxwell. Those of you following the debate on Facebook or Twitter can post your questions, and we'll try to ask them during the Q&A. If you're here at the Sentinel Hotel, please write your question on a note card and raise your hand so that the City Club staff can collect it. This next question will start with Mr. Broussard. The county contracts with nonprofit service providers for a vast array of services that it provides. There have been repeated problems of oversight of nonprofits, including the near and surprise closure of the county's largest mental health care provider 10 years ago, an event that spurred a major City Club study into county contracting. And more recently, the closure of a homeless shelter managed by the nonprofit Human Solutions, with a significant investment from the county. If elected, describe the skills and experiences you have providing the oversight of large nonprofits, requiring accountability, ensuring that revenues are spent efficiently, in a way that maximizes access to critical services.
I might add that again, we need to really still stay focused, if you will, on county issues, because I do realize that I'm very familiar with a lot of the city issues and I understand their function, but in all due respect, we need to focus on the crisis that we're having at this point in time. And again, like I said, it's about the Wapato and the homelessness. But to talk to your question, an audit was just, as you know, the auditor is elected through the county, and I think that's a very important person. And again, I've met with them, but the bottom line, they've given them their sort of update on the various agencies and whatever. But at the same time, I would be very dependent upon what they're going to say. And in all due respect, I plan to, in fact, interview them on Oregon Voters Digest, all the folks who are running for the county auditor. That's a very, very important piece. Very, very important to know what are these agencies doing.
Ms. Maxwell.
All right, thank you for the question. Can you repeat it again, so I want to make sure?
If elected, describe the skills and experiences you have providing the oversight of large nonprofits, requiring the accountability, ensuring that revenues are spent efficiently, and in a way that maximizes access to critical services.
Okay, great, thank you. So first of all, I'm an accounting major and I am a construction owner with contracts over millions of dollars that I've managed for the last 16 years. But we will be relying on the county's auditor to perform an audit to make sure that our county dollars are being utilized and impacting the lives of the people who we provide the services to. As a community member, I have done my own research and went and visited different nonprofits, looking at their annual reports to actually see what the ratio is of how they're spending their dollars. That's not a heavy lift for me. And so what I really want to make sure is that the dollars are actually reaching the people who are the most vulnerable. That is the county services, and we're talking about District 2, that we've witnessed a lot of displacement, we've witnessed the marginalization. We have to bring the city of Portland also accountable, and there has to be more transparency as it relates to county dollars. Why is it that the people in East Portland, East County right now, are experiencing a drought desert for food? The grocery stores are all closing up and leaving that community. Businesses are leaving that community. So we want to get out in front of these type of hazards that cause our most vulnerable citizens to be impacted by. Thank you.
Ms. Jayapal.
Thank you. This the time that we're in and the challenges that we face, government cannot possibly do all of this work on its own. We need partnerships with nonprofits, we need partnerships with communities, we need partnerships with business in order to find and drive solutions to the problems that we're facing. Nonprofits are critical partners for the county, absolutely. I have spent the last 15 years working on boards of community organizations. I've served on the boards of Planned Parenthood, working for reproductive health care, Metropolitan Family Services, which provides a range of social services to seniors and children and families, Regional Arts and Culture Council, and several others. And the role of being on the board of directors of a nonprofit is really similar in so many respects to being on the board of a county commission. You have to figure out how to ensure transparency, accountability, and you have to do that without actually being the executive and responsible for the organization. So the experience that I have on boards of directors of community organizations of nonprofits is directly translatable to what we will be doing on the board of county commissioners.
Ms. Garcia.
Yes, thank you. That's a really interesting question because as a community advocate, I know the effects of not having truthful and honest nonprofit organizations serving our communities. Many nonprofit organizations are tokenizing us. They're using us. They're using their Latino names, their African-American faces to get funding. I know that. This is a fact. Okay, I know because I'm connected with the community and I know we're not getting many services because there's no oversight. And that's shameful because we are talking about delivering human services. Our communities are in deep need of services. Our families are being separated. Our kids are afraid to go to school. They're not, mothers are not going to do their grocery shopping. And we are talking about serious issues. Many of our community members depend on the services of Multnomah County and the partners of Multnomah County. These partners sometimes are not the most clear because there's no oversight. So how do I want to address this issue? I want to do audits. Yes, it is important because numbers matter. Numbers don't lie. But also we have something called in Spanish compadrazgo. When you get along really well with your friend and you give contracts in spite of knowing that these nonprofits are not working and are not serving. Thank you.
All right, we've made our way around and we'll start with Ms. Maxwell's next question. Multnomah County has school resource officers in many schools. Two school resource officers who were Multnomah County Sheriff's deputies helped stop the shooting at Reynolds High School in 2014. We are in a time when our country is evaluating the police presence and practices in all aspects of society. And it's particularly challenging because it intersects with issues of race and mental health and our children's safety at school. County commissioners may very well find themselves needing to make decisions around school safety, guns, race, mental health, and police practices. How would you approach these issues as a county commissioner?
Wow, well, already for the last 35 years, this gun violence issue is nothing new. In the heart and soul of District 2, gun violence has been prevalent for this all of this time, and we haven't done anything or enough to address it at the root cause. We've lost 1,200 black boys and men from the community. That in itself is a crime. The fact that the gun violence now that's happening, because it's happening to dominant culture, it's all of a sudden an emergency. No, that's part of the marginalization in District 2 that has been ongoing for years. As county commissioner, I want to be a true leader who addresses policies and on the public safety side. We do not need more police officers in our schools dealing with our children. As far as their safety, we can provide that through more cameras and technology to make sure that people don't have access into the facility. But we do not need police officers and sheriffs, or we do not need to arm our teachers. I am against that, and I would vote that down. But I want to make it clear here that it's time to change the narrative about District 2 and stop the marginalization of people of color and our students.
Time. Ms. Jayapal.
I was out at George Middle School a few months ago. George Middle School is in North Portland, spending a day with the principal there, Lavert Robertson. And I was lucky enough to be there on a day when he was meeting with folks from Home Forward. George gets 30% of its students from New Columbia, which is managed by Home Forward. And at George, they had noticed discipline issues breaking out, fights breaking out in the hallways. And they thought to themselves, let's connect with the housing agency because that Home Forward, New Columbia, are serving the same families that we're seeing in our schools to work together to address these issues. And during that meeting, the number one need expressed by both the school folks and the folks from Home Forward was for mental health services for their families and for their children. Not a referral that sends families somewhere else, but mental health services on site, both at the housing agency and at the school, so that parents and families and children could have good trauma-informed mental health care. I think that's getting to a root cause of gun violence, I think that's going to be much more effective in keeping our schools safe than arming personnel. I am absolutely opposed to the idea of arming teachers or any personnel in schools. The other piece of this relating to education is we've got to completely smash the school-to-prison pipeline. We know that disproportionate discipline in schools is leading to record numbers, disproportionate numbers of black and brown children ending up incarcerated, and we have got to put an end to that. Thank you.
Ms. Garcia.
Would you please repeat that question?
Let me get back to my page. One second. Multnomah County has school resource officers in many schools. Two school resource officers who are Multnomah County Sheriff deputies helped stop the shooting at Reynolds High School in 2014. We are at a time in our country when we're evaluating the police presence and practices across all aspects of society. And it's particularly challenging because it intersects with issues of race and mental health and our children's safety. County commissioners may well find themselves needing to make decisions around school safety, guns, race, mental health, and police practices. How would you approach these issues as county commissioner?
Thank you. We don't have enough health clinics in our schools, and they're important. We need them because a lot of mothers, a lot of parents, kids in general, are suffering from domestic violence, and they have nowhere to go. The mothers, I endure domestic violence. I know how difficult it is, and I know sometimes you don't want to call the police. You need to be in a safe place where you can talk about your issue, and this safe place can be the school. If we have more clinics, health clinics in the schools, that's a way to stop violence or refer somehow to services required. Our kids are experiencing so much violence that now they're thinking that carrying a gun is gonna buy them security and safety, and that's wrong. So we need to educate our families, we need to educate our kids. I don't agree with the fact of having police in schools, that's wrong. I think there should be community partners and they should look after the safety of the neighborhoods, but not participate in schools directly. I don't think that's the right way. I think our kids need more arts. They need more, be more aware of who they are in their surroundings. I've been visiting youth incarcerated, and right there is where they learn that they have a talent for painting, talent for poetry. We need our kids to have more exposure to art and culture. Thank you.
Mr. Broussard.
Thank you very much. I think that's a very, very good question. When I think back about our school, we've got in district number 2, Portland Public School is the largest school district in the state. And in all due respect, Sun School is a very important piece to that operation. We need to add vocational education. I'm sure a number of us would remember those days in vocational education. The other thing in regards to the shootings and this, that, and the other, and the concerns that we have today, I want to pull a page back in regards to how we were doing it. It's very successful at Portland Public Schools. We had officers in uniforms, in their cars, and this, that, and the other, patrolling the schools, but there were no shootings. And the other component was custodians. Remember that? We had the custodians. They basically knew their schools. They walked the grounds for drug needles and things of that nature, and they would know the kids who were coming on and off the ground. I want to pull that concept back and make it more community or community policing type of situation. For instance, like Harry Jackson, who's very well known, if you will, in Portland Police Department aspect of it. Pull some of those guys out, like Matt Lockett, if you will, and create that community relations kind of a deal where these folks know the kids that are at their school, they know the parents, and they know what's going on. That's the direction I'm gonna take once I'm seated in that seat. Thank you.
The next question goes to Ms. Jayapal. About one half of the county's general fund comes from property taxes. The general fund supports the county health department, the sheriff's department, criminal justice, and more. With that in mind, you think property taxes in District 2 are too high, too low, or about right? And should you be elected, how will your opinion about this inform your decisions about the county budget?
So the county faces essentially a structural budget deficit because of the way that our property taxes are structured. Costs are going up more quickly than property taxes overall are, and that's ironic because people in the district are absolutely feeling overtaxed. That's happening because our property tax system is inequitable. The changes for that would have to happen at the state level. I absolutely believe that we ought to be advocating to make changes in those systems. We have folks in Outer East Portland who are paying more in property taxes relative to their property value than in other parts of the county. So, you know, it is absolutely true that people are feeling overtaxed, and that's because of inequities within the system, while at the same time not raising enough revenue for the county. We need to look at that. We also need to look at other revenue issues. We need to, Multnomah County carries more than its weight in terms of the services that it delivers. It bears the brunt of housing costs and the homelessness costs. It's a regional issue. These are regional issues, and we ought to be advocating and negotiating with our regional partners to make sure that we are getting assistance in funding for some of the expenses that we are carrying. Thank you.
Ms. Garcia.
I think property taxes are not fair and are not equal. I think a self-assessment should be done. I think we have to take a closer look at the numbers, at all the budget that we have and how it's distributed. Definitely, I think 40% spending on the judicial system, talking about the sheriff, the jails, is wrong. We need to invest more money into our community, into our families. We need to just do a reassessment of how the money is being spent. Thank you.
Thank you very much. I think that's, again, is a very important piece. In District 2, the word gentrification is on the board. And the first thing I think about is that it's a senior area in many ways. It's an old area. Many seniors are still living in that district. And they're having problems, if you will, trying to make their bills. As far as I'm concerned, they should not be paying any taxes. I'll find the money to basically fill that hole. That's where I'm coming from on that end of it. I don't think the sheriff should be out there. Basically, they are the jailers again. They are the jailers. And I think we can do something more creative, if you will. Maybe an idea with reference to, the homeless aspect of it. We might go to United Way. I worked for them for about 4 years. Maybe we can come up with a homeless person for a change. We could generate some dollars and find some monies that way. Look at the budget, like I said, of the sheriff. They're running about 40%. About $500 million coming to my particular district. The county is a $2 billion budget. I'm just dividing it by four, if you will. So the bottom line is that $500 million bucks. But my point is that seniors should not be paying. Things are too tough. Property's gotten too high, if you will, and they're being driven out of their homes. My first priority is to make sure that seniors are staying in their home for the life of the contract.
John, can you repeat the question, please?
Are taxes in District 2, property taxes in District 2, too high, too low, or about right? And whatever your answer is, how would that inform your decision-making in council on that county commission?
Sure. So first of all, property taxes, I believe, are necessary for the counties to be able to meet its budget. But what I'm hearing from people in District 2 is that there are too many other fees and bonds that people are being asked to carry a lot of weight. So as county commissioner, I wanna make sure that we do convene all of our housing partners to the table, the Portland Housing Bureau, Home Forward, all of our nonprofit organizations, because there needs to really be an assessment of the Airbnb and our hotels, because what's happening is we're losing housing stock to our visitors coming in, and we're not giving attention to making sure that working class people are being able to stay within District 2. That is not right that we're not tracking and doing assessments on our housing stock to make sure that everyone who gets up and goes to work every day is not living in a tent. So I want to make sure that we come up with a plan with the city of Portland on how we actually assess how many people, so make a registration for all Airbnb, that we make sure that as far as people who are property owners that are utilizing their properties for regular rentals, that we have a registration for them, because we need to track how the homes and the properties are really being used so that we can know if we're actually getting a good return on the property taxes that are being collected. Thank you.
For our broadcast audience, this is City Club of Portland's Friday Forum. I'm John Horvick, Vice President and Political Director at DHM Research. Today we're hearing from candidates running for Multnomah County Commissioner in District 2, Bruce Broussard, Maria Garcia, Sushila Jayapal, and Sharon Maxwell. We're going to go to audience questions now. Questions have been written on cards for me, and I will read them. A reminder to our candidates for this round, you have 1 minute to answer the question. We're going to begin with this one. A member of our audience would like a follow-up from an earlier question. So three of the candidates stated that they do not support having school resource officers in our schools. Are you going to propose to end this program that has existed in Multnomah County for decades? I believe this round starts with Ms. Garcia.
I'm sorry, what program is it again?
The school resource officers.
Again, I don't think our kids need police in the schools. I'm sorry, but I am the former president of Don't Shoot Portland, and we work with women who have lost their kids by police brutality. So we don't support police in schools. So I think there are other ways to keep our kids' safety, and this is where the parents should be engaged. Parents should be more involved in what's going on with their kids. So we need to invest our money, we need to invest our time in getting our parents to be more involved. There's this political disenfranchisement happening in our Latino communities, our African American communities, all communities, because we're too busy working, because we don't have enough ways to make ends meet every month. So that's a poverty issue. We need our parents to be more involved with their kids as a consequence of, you know, this misbehaving and having all these issues. Kids, killing kids, that's unacceptable. We don't need more police in schools, no.
Mr. Broussard.
Again, I like the idea of where we were before in Portland Public Schools.
Mr. Broussard, if you...
Yes, I'm sorry again. Again, I believe very strongly about what we had at our school district some time ago, and that is they were resource officers. But the fact of the matter is the community knew who they were, the kids knew who they were, and that's very, 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 very important. And then they had close relationships with the Portland Police Department. They were wearing uniforms, just like, in fact, they looked just like Portland Police, and they also had their cars and whatever. So it's that strong deterrent factor that we need to really push in the schools. The guns are pretty tough, if you will. But again, I would probably have to address that too, because now we're in the assault rifle aspect of it. I mean, we're in pretty bad shape right now. We got to discuss that issue. And again, that might be another area that we will discuss once I'm on board with my staff, and then take that accordingly.
As commissioner, we want to focus on making sure that we have strong families, strengthen the family voice. So we want to make sure that we work with our employers to encourage our parents to attend and volunteer within the school setting. As a parent, as a grandparent, when I'm there, the children crave for the attention of other adults. As county commissioner, I will be convening business owners to have a round table so we can discuss how we can better, first of all, make sure that our families are getting paid the wages that they need so they can provide a stable home environment and be able to role model for their children the behavior that they should when they're in the school setting. And then secondly, we need to make sure that we have more counselors available or community health workers out in the community as well as in the school. The community resource workers, they're seen as an intervention, not prevention. And my focus will be prevention.
Ms. Jayapal.
I am opposed to guns in schools. I want to clarify my previous answer. Guns do not belong in schools, whether with school resource officers or teachers or anybody else. My children went to Grant High School, and we had school resource officers. They were terrific. They understood. They knew they knew the kids at the school. They knew the families. They worked with counselors to resolve situations. I think school resource officers can be an asset. It all depends on the approach that they take. If it's an enforcement approach, I don't think that's productive or just. If it is a restorative justice approach, if it's a working with families approach, I think that can be a resource, especially if it's supplemented with school health clinics and mental health care and social workers in the schools as well.
This next question will start with Mr. Broussard. The public voted the Multnomah County campaign finance measure 26-184 by 89%. Yet a judge ruled the finance limits and the transparency requirements unconstitutional. It's under appeal. Will you as a commissioner work to champion this measure, or are you opposed to it?
Well, I thought this was a government of the people, by the people, and for the people. With 89% of the people voting for it, why is there a problem? What's the issue? In all due respect, the commissioners across the board voted against it, saying that it would prevent folks like me from running for office. I think it's a good idea, because the whole idea is that in the past, the private sector has been basically, have bought, if you will, bought the politicians and big money and the like we're having in this race right now. In fact, Sheila got basically the support of all the unions and all the big businesses and whatever. I mean, I don't think it's fair. So I definitely support the people. Government of the people, by the people, and for the people. I am for it. Thank you.
So I support we the people. We the people, for the people. First of all, we need fair elections, period. And the fact that one of the candidates, Shashila Jaipal, has conspired with her sister to get the endorsements of the unions by strong-arming them, basically not vetting any of the candidates prior to the filing date so that she could get all of the endorsements. How does a union member not get endorsed by the union when she's never been a union member, never supported the unions? And so, first of all, this whole campaign finance should have included fairness. And so I will be filing a complaint with the Secretary of State to do an investigation on the fairness of getting endorsements as a candidate. Thank you.
I'll just repeat the question quickly. Will you as a commissioner work to champion this measure, or are you opposed to it?
We have a little extra time, John, to respond to some of the comments that have been made.
You have 1 minute to respond.
I support campaign finance reform. And I think what we need to do is to lobby at the state level to make sure to change Oregon's campaign finance laws to allow us to locally impose campaign finance restrictions. I have complied and will continue to comply with the ordinance. I have taken no corporate donations nor from corporate PACs. All of my fundraising has been with individuals. I am so proud to have the support of every labor union that's endorsed in this race. I started running in September. I went through every union process. I met with union members as well as with union leadership. And here's what I said: I support labor. I support the right to organize. I support the right to collectively bargain. And I will champion for you and your members and working families in Multnomah County. I am proud to have the support of every union that's endorsed in this race. And I think to question the integrity not only of me as a candidate, but of unions as well, is extraordinary.
Ms. Garcia.
Can I respond?
And it's Ms. Garcia's turn to answer the question.
I want to make sure we keep
it fair.
Yeah,
we need to make sure that we get it right up here.
The candidates each get their allotted time. Ms. Garcia.
Thank you. I believe the democratic process should be open and fair and not controlled by money. And I believe money should not dictate who holds elected official. I don't see why the name of a person should be at value based on how much money they have raised or who's endorsing the person, because right now we are living in very critical times and we cannot trust many leaders, and we've seen that, and we're reading it in the newspapers. So it is important to have the voice of the people, our people. This campaign allows people like me to build a grassroots campaign and involve our people who cannot pay $100, who cannot donate $200 because they don't have it. This campaign is productive. This campaign is good because allows those people, like my friends from the Mayan community, $5 here, $5 there. It is important to bring their voices to the table.
We are nearing the end of our time, and we're going to move to closing remarks. By just the shuffle of things, Ms. Maxwell, you get to... ma'am, this is the candidate's time, and we're going to move to final remarks. You each have 1 minute for closing remarks. Thank you.
I'm for working class people. I'm for District 2. My name is Community Builder. Shashila can't spell community because she's disconnected. She's never been there. No one even knows her. She hasn't even been around. She says she's a current activist. What does that mean? Who puts current before activists? I am a business owner. I've hired over 200 people from the community. I've made sure that folks who have been marginalized, that have been displaced and gentrified out, will have a voice at Multnomah County. It's time out for the status quo. We can no longer see county employees disparaged in the workplace, and working in fear of retaliation and in losing of their job. I want to make sure that we install the Merit Council, which will be for managers to file a complaint when they are being intimidated and harassed, and the Ombudsman Program for regular staff who come up under the union. It's time for our true champion, Maxwell, Sharon Maxwell, the next county time. Commissioner.
Ms. Jayapal.
Thank you again to the organizers and to all of you for attending. Through all of my work in District 2 and in Multnomah County as an attorney and as a community advocate, I have focused on core values of equity and social justice and driven them forward through large, complicated systems. At Adidas America, where I was general counsel, I improved conditions in factories in Southeast Asia. At All Hands Raised, working on education across the county, I insisted on putting racial equity at the forefront of all of our work. At the Regional Arts and Culture Council, I shifted public dollars to invest in communities of color and culturally specific organizations. The broad support my campaign has received reflects my ability to work in coalition and across sectors. I am proud to be endorsed by County Chair Deborah Cafori and all of the other commissioners who will be sitting next year, as well as a broad range of community leaders, including Representative Tana Sanchez and Diego Hernandez, who support the people, who represent the people of District 2. I look forward to working with you to creating a community where all people,
time.
All families, and all children can thrive, and I ask for your vote. Thank you.
I am Maria Garcia. I'm a business owner. I have endured domestic violence. I know what it is to work 3 jobs. I know what it is to be undocumented. I know what it is to be full of fear every day, okay? But here I am as a business owner, a successful business owner, a co-chair for the New Portlanders Policy Commission. I am here as a former president of Don't Shoot Portland, a community action organization. I am here as a former employee of the Mexican Consulate, serving the Mexican diaspora in Oregon. I am here to bring the voice of our communities. I am here to ask you to please help me to help our communities. Help me, I need your help. My name is Maria Garcia, May 15. I need you to please support our communities. I need you to please pay attention to what's going on around us. I need you to please check our website, Maria Garcia for Multnomah County. Thank you.
And Mr. Broussard.
Again, thank you very, very much for giving us the opportunity to share with you our feelings and our thoughts and our qualifications for running for this particular position. It's a very, very important position. That's why I'm running. I've been in this area for 40 years. I used to own the Portland Observer newspaper. I now own Oregon Voters Digest, the first blue book in Oregon, a historical piece. You can see it at the Oregon Historical Society. I built the senior citizen complex out of my pocket, my wife and I. We developed housing, home ownership for housing, I mean, for folks, if you will, in this particular community. And in all due respect, it's a very, very, our kids are very important. We've got to take those folks off the street. We've got to get WAPATO. get Wapato and house them and vet them so we can start living our life and let those roses grow again for a change so you can walk downtown like I do and my wife wants to. It's a very serious times, folks. So please, when you vote your conscience, vote Bruce Broussard. Bruce Broussard. Thank you very much.
Thank you all very much. Let's give our candidates a round of applause.
Our time is up, and we need to pause the discussion for now, but we hope that this is the beginning of even more in-depth conversations for each of you. Please join me in thanking our panel for being here today, and I'd also like to say a special thank you to Sky Waters, the producer of this program. We appreciate all of the hard work that went into making today possible. Thank you for coming. We're adjourned.